All right, good. So welcome to the NLP Master Trainer. I've been doing this for a long time, and one of the interesting things that we're going through right now is with this lockdown experience, stay-at-home order, whatever you want to call it, where everything's changing. And some people are using this time to update their skills, to make other trainings. I've coached a few people on, you know, taking their practice online if they didn't already. I was sort of lucky, I guess. I started doing online therapy and training about 2012. I started a couple of online addiction treatment programs. I've always done coaching online because of the kind of clients I have a tendency to get, because three quarters of my clients come from the world of hypnosis, NLP, and or psychology, or therapists. And so they're all over. And, you know, back, you know, 20 years ago, people would fly in, hang around for a while, and I would work with them, and then they'd fly home. Now, of course, with what we're doing, everything's changed. But a lot of people hadn't set up any kind of home therapy stuff. One person I'm working with, and I forgot to send him that video on how to do sessions online. And then I did a little bit of how to do training online, and because that's going to change everything. We were talking about training in general. I was talking with some people training in hypnosis and NLP, even EFT, is even when this is over and people are allowed out and about, what is the new training world going to look like? I had a great year set up, right? With trainings in different places, with different people, some new stuff, with new people. Doing the NLP and mainly the NLP training, but it was with new groups and new people. So I was all excited, and then in the blink of an eye, it disappeared. So now that things are coming back, we'll see what happens. And I think the current thought process is probably we're going to move into hybrid trainings. And then we'll talk about master trainer, but hybrid trainings, where you do a training, you might have six or eight people in the room, like you're doing an NLP training or hypnosis training or EFT, whatever it happens to be, and you put a few people in the room. You could set it up with your laptop or other things and do it via Zoom or GoToMeeting or I wouldn't recommend Skype. There's a new one. The Google's coming out with a new one. The old, Google Hangouts kind of didn't work too well, but they're coming out with a new one. Facebook's coming out with a program kind of like Zoom. So you'll be able to have your students in your classroom and then have people online. I've done a lot of trainings like this, and I've done a lot of trainings for my group, NLP coaching courses, sports, all these things online. I hadn't really done that much like traditional NLP trainings. I was a little bit of a stick in the mud, like, I don't want to do that. Well, a couple months ago, I was supposed to do an intro to NLP, a two-day, I call it Essentials of NLP. And it was with a conference, IAC conference. It got canceled, right? And they decided to do it online. Well, that group had been ahead of the curve because they had always streamed part of their conference, at least two or three of the meetings they would stream. So they knew how to do it. But now, of course, that was from the hotel where the conference was at. Well, now, of course, they've moved to doing everything online. So they figured that out. And I talked to the guy that was putting together. We talked about how to do it. It was fine. And then they decided they were still going to try to do the pre and the post. Online. And they asked, because I had that NLP essential set up, would I like to do it? And I said, of course. So I did it with my Zoom, and it really made me work, because I ended up getting a very good class, right? I think I had one or two signed up for when it was live, and then when we decided to do it online, I also told them to cut the price drastically, and we basically had 14 people in the room, which was great. So I was teaching like this. I had the students lined up. I could see them on the side, and then I would talk and teach. And then when I do a demo, I would do it one-on-one with somebody. And then with Zoom, and I use Zoom because I'm very comfortable with it. It's the main reason I use it. you could do breakout rooms, you could do all this really cool stuff. And so it worked fine. I was surprised how well it worked. In fact, in some ways, it worked better than totally live, right? And again, it was easy to get people to sign up, a little bit easier because they didn't have to spend the extra airfare, the 3 extra days in the hotel, the food, away from your family, friends, all of that. So I'm talking about that because I'm going to incorporate some of this into the Master Trainer program, because this is going to be, I don't like the term the new norm. It will just be what it is. When there's a structural shift in the world, whether it's some kind of technology that gets dropped on the world, like the iPhone or smartphones, things like that, or something like a war that reshapes a lot of things. Once it starts, you can't put that, horse back in the barn, as we would say, if I was at the barn, and we say, once the horse leaves, it's real tough to get that little guy back. So, sorry about that. So let's get started. The NLP Master Trainer. Hit the wrong button. So this is about increasing your training and speaking skills, because really to be an elite trainer, a master trainer, it's not just about teaching the material. NLP and hypnosis and EFT in and of itself is very easy to teach. I think it's very easy to teach because it's like you demo it. The steps are pretty clear. People can go practice it. They can come back, right? It's not that hard. You demo, you bring somebody up, you demo it, they go practice it, they come back. Great, we can do that. And for a long time, that was your basic trainer's training. In fact, I got involved in a group, the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I was one of their master trainers training hypnotists, and that was kind of the format they used. And when I started talking to them, I said, I'm not going to do that. I think it's stupid. It's about training people how to train, so when they're teaching people, they become effective, because it's all about getting your students to be more effective so they can help more people, especially with hypnosis, with NLP, with EFT, with therapy. The skills you could pick up, but can you teach from the front of the room in such a way that people want to grow, want to change, want to do this, right? And about helping more people, having more fun. And to do that, you basically have to learn some insider secrets. A lot of the organizations don't want to teach this. In one way, and I'll say it, I'll get, once I really post this up and around, I'll get some nasty emails. In a lot of ways, a lot of the hypnosis and NLP organizations are nothing more to me than multi-level marketing scams. They get you in, hey, take this training, then take this master training, now take the trainer's training, now go out and sell your friends. It's kind of like, hey, join Amway, buy all this crap, now go sell your friends. They don't bring you in and teach you how to really do the skills, and then teach you how to build a business, right? So you're not just trying to pitch your friends. How do you really build a business? And that's, and again, if they weren't taught, and a lot of this goes back to if you don't know what you don't know. So a lot of this, is just going out there. And especially, let's talk about NLP really quickly. The farther we get away from the basic stuff, the more convoluted it becomes. So there's one number one thing to make your trainings more effective. And this is taken from like special operations and like how they train emergency room doctors, right? And that is, you have to immerse yourself in what you're doing in such a way that you have a lot on the line yourself, right? And this changes everything. When you internalize this and you become that kind of person, it changes how you look at things, right? And it makes you think about everything differently. And with this, there's 3 fatal mistakes most trainers make across the board, especially in hypnosis and NLP, and I would argue even psychology. I'm a psychologist, and I see it in other therapists. The number one fatal mistake I see people make is they stop seeing random clients and only see students or referrals from students. And well, of course, what it says there is what I mean by random is people come to you, they don't know you're a trainer, they don't know you've written books, they just want to stop smoking, lose weight, whatever it is, improve, whatever it is that they're coming to you for, right? And it's easy to do because, you know, if you start doing trainings and then you get students and then your students send people to you because, you know, they can't help the person. So it's like they refer up, which is wonderful. But then you become, you're like the super specialist that the people come with a preconceived set of ideas that you're the best at what you do. And that's great. But what about just testing your material with people you don't know, right? There's a reason that when you see top light comics, you know, some of my friends, especially a few years ago, were comics, stand-up comedians. And they would talk about even the big names, when they would test new material, they would go to clubs unannounced and try out their material, right? They would try it out, right? Because they're testing their material, making sure it works. One guy in particular, I won't name him, big name comic, he would get his, you know, he was his main writer, so he'd write his stuff, and he had writers with him, and they would write the stuff. And then he would have people test his jokes or his bits for him, you know, because he goes, you know, I'm so-and-so. He was a big name. If I try it, I might get a better response just because I'm so-and-so. I want to see, do these jokes work, do these story work by themselves, right? And so, and by limiting yourself to people like that, you know, like referrals, is you start setting limits on your own stories, your own example. A lot of us have been to trainers that keep telling the same story from 30 years ago. Not that some of your greatest hits are great. There's a reason when you go see a band, they play their greatest hits. But do you have new material, right? Because, again, it's easy to get lazy if you only see people who already love you, right? And number two, the second big fatal mistake trainers make is they stop testing and refining the things that they teach. Basically what happens, they teach theory. You know, it's like in theory it would work. In the real world, theory rarely works. That's one of the things I firmly believe sometimes. It's especially true for material you might get from a guru. A lot of us have been to trainings and people are like worshiping this trainer, and he'll say, you do this, this, and this, and you're going to get this wonderful response. And then you go home and you take the steps that they laid out and you try it and it doesn't work, right? And they'll, why? Well, they were mainly teaching theory. I remember I had a spirited discussion with an icon in our field, and I've had this discussion four times that I could name in my mind with people because they were teaching something. And I'm like, I looked at it and I go, does that really work? And I got a hold of them. And, well, how many people have you tested it with? Have you done this, this, this? And after some prodding, they almost went, nah, I haven't really done this, but I know it would work. And I go, well, how will you know it will work? Well, in theory, it drove me crazy. One was for weight loss, because when I read it, I go, this crap won't work. It just won't work. And then I tried it with people, and it didn't work. Could have been my belief set. You stop testing, you stop refining, you stop updating. You're still teaching the exact same stuff. Not that the base level is great. When you teach the basics, it's the basics. But are you adding in the new material, like things about neurology, things about neurobiology, the neurochemicals? I've added what I call the HOT model, the hierarchy of thought model, the neurobiological model of how hypnosis and NLP works. That gives some background and creeds. A lot of people have not done that. And with that, you need to update, change your material. And can you admit when you were mistaken? Can you admit when you were mistaken? You know, I remember back in the early 90s, late 80s, let's go back a while, there was a thing where they said, you know, only 7% of your communication is verbal. 55% is not, whatever the numbers were. I did it. I published that. I remember I wrote a couple of articles about that, put it on the journal, published one, right? Even though when I was doing them, like, it just seems weird. It just seems weird, right? And then a couple of years later, the guy that kind of came up with that idea said it was taken totally out of context. It is not true. It is not true that only 7% of your communication is verbal. As he said, bullshit, because if that was true, you wouldn't worry about the words that you use. And what about when people can't see you? What if you're talking on the phone, listening to a speech, right? Do the words move you? You don't have to see the singer to have the song move you. So it's invalid, right? Yes, if you're face to face and your verbal words, your physiology and everything matches, it's more powerful. But if words did not matter, we wouldn't remember powerful speeches through time. We wouldn't remember those, right?
What's it, John F. Kennedy? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Powerful statement. People can resonate with that. He could have said, hey, don't ask the government to help you. You help the government. That's a whole different thing. Same words, right? Different communication. And it's the words, not necessarily how you say it, you know? I have a dream. All of these powerful things, the words matter, you know? So I had to admit I was wrong. That is, and I just saw somebody quoting that and I'm like, oh God, and I don't want to point it out, but it's invalid, right? And then there was the success study that actually started in the 60s. The earliest person that they can remember talked about it was Zig Ziglar, that there was a big study at a famous Eastern university. That's the earliest someone could find, where they took the graduating class and talked to them, and they found only 3% of the people had written goals. About 5 to 7% had somewhat written goals, but they knew what they were wanting. Other people just wanted to graduate. And then on a 20-year study, follow-up study, the 3% with the written goals were more successful. You know, they always point to money, were worth more than the other 97% combined, yada, 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 right? And the 5 to 7% that had somewhat written goals were the doctors, the lawyers, the professionals. Great. Good study. Guess what? Study never happened. Never happened. You know, there was a guy trying to write a dissertation. It was either a thesis or a dissertation. So he literally contacted, you know, all the major schools, you know, the schools of psychology, the schools of social work, the schools of business, the schools, you know, if they had a marketing, and he was trying to find where this was. Nobody could find the study. And supposedly what I heard, he finally got a hold of Zig Ziglar. And he said, where'd you find this? He goes, oh, I heard it. Well, where'd you hear it? I don't remember. He goes, well, I can't find the study. I don't think it's true. And he went, doesn't matter. It's a good study. It's a good story. And it works. Well, since, by the way, they have duplicated that study, and it is somewhat true. If you write your goals down, that was done in Canada at McGill University, where they actually found it was true. But when they first were talking, and the study, and it was not quite as successful as that thing said. So anyway, can you admit when you're wrong, when you get wrong material, when you, you know, just because your trainer said it and you test if it doesn't work, you know, because people always ask me, there's a couple NLP techniques I don't teach. And they go, why not? I go, I never got them to work. Maybe it's me. I'm not going to teach what I don't know. The number three mistake people make is they take for granted what I call the power of the platform. Because when you're teaching in front of a group as an expert, it has the power of the platform. So the change work goes more smoothly. But can your students get the same result? It kind of ties into the first and second fatal mistake. Sometimes I'll be doing a training. And I'll say, I'll be, you know, doing a training, and one of the students will come up and say, I want you to work with me on this. And I'll say, okay, well, that's coming up, whatever the problem is. I'll go, okay. Why not just when you're in your with your partner or in your group of three, depending on how I'm doing the training that day, just work on it. No, I want you to work on it. That's the power of the platform. If the technique works, it should work regardless of who's doing it, right? Now, this ties into, like I say, one and two about making yourself feel important, because, you know, you begin to believe it's you, not the technique or the technology. You know, is it the hypnosis? Is it the NLP technique? Or is it you? And that for that to work, you have to be willing to put aside your ego, right? And I always say there's the law of averages. You may not rise to your dreams, but you'll fall to the level of your peers. So we all need peers. The other thing, if I had a fourth fatal mistake for trainers, is they stop hanging around with people at their level or above them. They only hang around with their students. Or their clients, because you need peers. You need people that will hold you to a higher standard, right? Usually a lot of people will say some of their most productive time, if they were in the military, was when they were in the military, especially if they were in a high-performance military unit, right? And why? Well, it's because
your peers are holding you to a higher level. You know, you need your uniform to look good. You need to know your job. You need to be able to do your skills to save the people around you. It's the level of your peers, right? They'll hold you to a higher level of expectation, and you will hold yourself to it, right? And it's the same with sports. You get on a sports team. A lot of times you'll see an athlete that their game rises when the other people around them rise. They always talk about why in certain sports, you know, in football, basketball, soccer, certain other sports, right? They'll say if you get one or two of the people, everyone's skill rises. Well, that means the skill was in them. They never tapped into it. Why not? Well, they weren't working with other people that said, you could do better than this. You can do better than this, right? So that's one of the things I do with this NLP master trainer. And it's like 8 to 10 weeks long, one time a week. A couple of them are going to be longer days. They're recorded. I have a website, but mainly I use a private Facebook group because Facebook's much easier to stream video than any other platform anywhere in the world. And so you have a lot of homework in the master trainer. First of all, you have to be a trainer of NLP and or hypnosis. And you want to be an elite trainer. And for this to work, you have to be able to study on your own. And if there's one thing this current environment has taught us, you have to be able to do things on your own. You have to be willing to be held to a higher standard because that's some of your homework. One of the assignments for everybody in the group when I do a master trainer is they have to write a book. If they've never written a book, they need to write a book. If they have written a book, they need to write another book, preferably not rewrite the old book, but write a new book, right? Because it's kind of cool when you become an author, if you're not already an author. If you've written a book, it adds a different level of credibility. So in the master trainer, it's about teaching people how to train trainers. Because what happens is, you know, when you take your basic NLP or hypnosis, then you might take a master NLP or hypnosis, then you may become a trainer. So you go take a trainer's training. Now in our trainer's training, we teach you how to teach. We use NLP and hypnosis to teach NLP and hypnosis. So at the basic level, when you're teaching, you have to learn the skills to be able to teach a basic NLP, which is how to do a technique, how to set it up, the timing, you know, how to clean up a technique after you've demonstrated it, and then how to do that. So that's the basics, pretty easy. The master, if you're going to teach master NLP, well, you're teaching waking hypnosis, where you begin. A lot of the work happens just in the language. It's not just the technique, the visual squash, new behavior generate. It's the setup to it, right? So that's a master level. Then if you're going to train, and that's if you take just the basic NLP trainer's training, which I may offer also. I might run two or three courses simultaneously. And that's you're just going to teach that, how to use the stage, how to use timing. I need to redo it because of... what's going on now with the video, I can't use the stage unless I'm going to stand up and walk around. I need to be able to do things very tight, right? Like this. So that's a basic trainer. Now a master trainer, you're training trainers. It's a whole different skill set because when you teach a basic, those people don't know anything about hypnosis or NLP. Okay. So you can do what you need to do at the master level. They've taken NLP or hypnosis from you or from someone else, but your skill set has to be better, right? Now, if you're going to train trainers, your skill set's got to be one level above it because you're going to train them how to train people in hypnosis and NLP, right? So you need the setup, the this, the that, the waking hypnosis, all of that begins to go in a package. And then the master trainer is when you're going to train trainers, which is the most important thing. And one of the most overlooked things that I used to only teach the master trainer, now I actually introduce it in the regular training class, which is the mindset for your student, right? What is the mindset? What attitudes, values, and beliefs do you want to install in them? Not just how to do a visual squash, a new behavior generator, whatever it is, a technique, that's easy. What's the mindset you want them to have going in? And you can see that by people that are trained. You know, like I'll use the hypnosis world. You can go to a lot of the hypnosis conferences, and sometimes you start talking to somebody, and you can kind of tell who trained them by the way they approach hypnosis, right? they, because when you're first learning, especially for the first couple of years, you kind of mimic whatever your trainer was, right? So most trainers do not understand that they're subconsciously teaching that to their students. If they're serious and dogmatic and very, that's how their students are going to approach. That's how you have to do this, you know, or whatever it is. So what attitudes, values, and beliefs are you installing while you teach it? So again, if you want to become a master trainer, it's the next level up, you know, and you want to be able to be elite, be held to a higher standard and able to study on your own. So what stops people from jumping into going up the level from, you know, once they learn the basic and the master, and then maybe they become a trainer. But even then, do they want to become better? Because what happens is people aren't ready to leave the pack because the pack is comforting. And you can accept mediocre as good enough. You know, you accept mediocre as good enough. If you get good in NLP, especially if you understand the waking hypnosis and some of the stuff we train in NFNLP, your mediocre is better than most people's bests. So it's easy to stop there. You know, but as a trainer training, my mission is to create the best, most effective trainers who can truly teach this life-saving information. Because NLP and hypnosis didn't just save my life, it gave me a life worth living. So now we needed to create people who will grow the field, right? And when I usually do this, when I do a master trainer, it's between $19.95 and $29.95 when I do it live, because of the, well, you got to pay for your room, all that other stuff, which I go into on the trainer's training. And I did my first online master trainer a while ago, right? And I call it SMOT, S-O-M-T, because I'm sick of mediocre trainers. And I was doing it for $9.95. But what I'm going to do is half that price. So it's like a 75% discount. So $4.95. And it's going to start next Monday at noon, like we did here, with an intro or a preview that I may just let people in so they'll see what I'm going to teach in the Master Trainer. And the full class starts the next Monday, May 25th at noon. And you have to contact me to apply because you have to be a trainer, or, you know, I can spin you into the, maybe I'll offer a trainer's course for people that need the trainer's course. But you can't jump to the master trainer. It's like trying to learn a spinning back kick without understanding a front kick, a side kick, and a back kick, and how to have your balance. I might be able to show you kind of how to look like you're doing a spinning back kick, but it's not going to work because you don't understand the basics. So you have to have each level. So you need to contact me if you want information on this, and we'll make sure that everything's cool. But the preview is next Monday, where I'll teach the first module. Again, I may let people in on that. I'm not sure. But if you want, let me know. And then the full class starts 2 weeks from today, May 25th. And like I say, 8-week minimum. Probably the other one we went on a little bit more. And I'm thinking the other good thing, once you get into the NLP Master Trainers Group, that's a private Facebook page, which I'm going to, there's people in it now. I'm going to reactivate it. And some of the people that took the training before can redo it. And I really want to create a better culture, a better group, if you will, where people can help each other, especially in all these changes. How do you market? How do you change this? What can we do different as a group? Because as a group, we can pick each other's brains. I never say I know everything, but I have people that find out things that work. Oh, great. They can share it with the group. You know, I had someone on the last one that was very good at Facebook marketing. So they taught a couple classes on how to do a Facebook market, right? And so we're going to have a lot of fun with that. So again, we're going to have some fun with this. So if you have any questions, get in touch with me. And that's it for today. I just wanted to do this. And